From the campuses of Washington and Lee University in Lexington, Virginia, and Hobart and William Smith Colleges in Geneva, New York, the National Broadcasting Company presents the College Quiz Bowl. Tonight, Washington and Lee University is to defend their title here in the College Quiz Bowl. And challenging them, we have the varsity scholars from Hobart and William Smith Colleges in Geneva, New York. And now, here in Radio City, New York, is your master of the quiz, Mr. Alan Ludden.
Hi there, everybody. It's good to have you with us for another intercollegiate battle of the brain. Now let's get along with this game and meet these teams tonight. First, we're going to go way upstate New York to the shores of Seneca Lake and meet the team from Hobart and William Smith Colleges in Geneva, New York, where Bob Whitney of station WSYR Syracuse is on hand to referee for the Hobart and William Smith team. Are you there, Bob?
You bet I am, Alan, and with me are four excited scholars from Hobart and William Smith Colleges ready to give Washington and Lee a real fight. Here they are to introduce themselves.
Hello, Al. This is John Slayton, Yonkers, New York.
Good evening, Al. This is Warren Herendeen from Geneva, New York.
And this is Carl Lawn from Geneva, New York.
And Paul Minkoff from New York City.
Well, where's the audience? Let's hear a cheer. Okay. I would say those men came in strong and clear and need to hear the support they have up there. Okay, you've met the team from Hobart and William Smith Colleges in Geneva, New York. Now, let's move down south to the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, where Ted Cord of station WSLS Roanoke is standing by to referee for the Washington and Lee University team. How are those champs tonight, Ted?
Alan, they're really stout-hearted and determined to stay in the College Quiz Bowl. And here they are once again to say hello.
Ed Hood, Birmingham, Alabama.
Jack Lackman from Lexington, Virginia.
Max Volkowski, Arlington, Virginia.
Clay Carr from Winchester, Virginia.
Okay, all right. Now we've met both teams. Before Roger Tuttle explains our rules, may I point out to you that we recognize the fact that here in the College Quiz Bowl, we are putting the emphasis on a quick recall of specific facts. But we're also trying to give you an opportunity to meet a few of the many remarkable, well-rounded personalities to be found today on every American campus. Okay, Roger, how about the rules?
Right, Alan, and here they are. Alan asks a toss-up question worth 10 points. And the first team to signal it knows the answer gets a chance to answer it. When Hobart and William Smith signals, you'll hear... And when Washington and Lee University signals, you'll hear... By means of a special electronic selector, the team which signals first, even by a split second, activates its light here in New York City and makes it impossible for the other team's light to flash. If a team gives a wrong answer to the toss-up question, the other team is given a chance to answer it. And whichever team gives the right answer gets a bonus question worth a stated number of points. Well, the team with the most points at the end of the game is the winner and will return next week to defend its title here in the College Quiz Bowl.
Thank you, Roger. Now, remember, teams, you may interrupt a toss-up question before I've finished asking it. But if you do, and if your answer is wrong, your team will be penalized 5 points, and I'll repeat the question, giving the other team a free crack at it. Okay, those are the rules. And that's our opening whistle, so let's go. Our first bonus question tonight is worth 30 points. Here's the toss-up that might earn it for you. You ready? Lenin called him the best file clerk in Moscow. Recently, Hobart.
Warren Herendeen.
Would that be Georgi Malenkov?
I penalize Hobart 5 points for interrupting a toss-up question. I repeat the entire question for Washington and Lee. It was a good try, but not quite. Here we go. The entire question, Washington Lee, Lenin called him the best file clerk in Moscow. Recently, this man admitted he'd made a mistake. For 10 points, who is he?
Jack Lackman.
That is Vyacheslav Molotov.
That's the whole name, and that's 10 points. He confessed that he'd erred in political thinking, thus inviting a lot of speculation in the foreign press as to his future in Russian politics, and you got it, 10 points there, the toss-up. And a chance now, Washington Lee, at a 30-point bonus. It's a bonus question on geography, but may I point out that it is 1955-type geography. Remember that. Okay, Washington Lee, you can earn 10 points now if you'll tell us what two European capitals' names begin with the letter M, as in mother. M, as in mother. Two European capitals.
Madrid is one.
That's right. The other? time is called. Moscow. Oh, you didn't get it. You almost did, but you didn't. Moscow and Madrid. You got to work fast in the College Quiz Bowl. Here we go. You can still make 20 points on this one, Washington Lee. 10 points here. What are the three European capitals whose names begin with the letter P, as in Paul?
Prague is one.
Right.
Paris.
Right. One more. 1955. Pankow, East Germany. Okay, you didn't get that one. All right. For a final, you can still get 10 points if you'll tell us six European capitals whose names begin with the letter B, as in ball.
Bonn,
right.
B-O-N-N.
Berlin.
No.
All right, keep going. You've named one.
Budapest.
Right.
Bucharest.
Yeah. Hurry, Mr. McGregor's getting impatient.
Barcelona.
You got three. Here you go. You missed Brussels, Belgrade, and Bern. Brussels, Bonn, Belgrade, Bern, Bucharest, and Budapest. Okay, you still got... Now, what's the score in time, Roger?
Right now, Alan, Washington and Lee has 10 points. Hobart is under the table with a minus 5. We have 15 and a half minutes to go.
And I got a 30-point bonus coming up. Here we go, the toss-up to get it for you. Here you go. You ready? For 10 points, quote the poetic phrase that immediately precedes these words. Nor all your piety nor wit shall lure it back to cancel half a line. Washington and Lee.
Jack Lackman.
The writing finger moves across the page.
All right, can you take it? I penalize you 5 points. I was going to finish the verse. Is that legitimate? All right, Washington Lee, you're penalized 5 points. I'm going to finish the verse. Hobart, you are to give me the poetic phrase that immediately precedes these words. Nor all your piety nor wit shall lure it back to cancel half a line. Nor all your tears wash out a word of it.
All right, John Slayton.
Well, Al, I would possibly be the moving finger moves on and having writ.
No, I'm sorry. The moving finger writes and having writ moves on. Okay, nobody got it. We will move along. Before we move along, however, to the next toss-up question, let's find out what the stakes are in this game, Roger.
Right, Alan. Each week, the National Broadcasting Company will award to the school of the winning team a $500 cash award to be administered by the college. Now, this may go to a scholarship fund or to a campus activity. And each member of the losing team will receive an attractive and dependable Whitnauer wristwatch, distinguished product of the Longines Whitnauer Watch Company since 1866, maker of watches of the highest character. Well, those are the stakes, Alan. Now, with 14 minutes to go, the score, Hobart, a minus 5, Washington and Lee, a plus 5. Let's not penalize them anymore, shall we?
Okay, we got a whole game ahead of us. We got a $500 cash prize awarded by the National Broadcasting Company as the award tonight. Now, I have a 30-point bonus coming up. The score is very close. Here's the toss-up that could get it for you and would put whoever got it ahead. This is the toss-up. Are you ready? If the old curmudgeon accompanied old blood and guts to old faithful for 10 points, tell us, who would go where? Washington and Lee.
Max Caskey.
I think that would be Harold Ickes with Bismarck.
All right, that's wrong. Can you take it, Hobart?
John Slayton.
I believe that would be Harold Ickes with General Patton to Yellowstone Park.
Right, for 10 points. You got it. You waited and you got it. Boy, you climbed up out of the cellar. Now you got 5 points. Here we go with a bonus question for 30 points, Hobart. Here we go. Let's move along. Now, listen very carefully. You know, every proper letter writer knows that a letter should commence with a salutation and close with a valediction. Now, I will name a well-known author, and for 10 points, you are to name one of his novels which contains in the title a term of valediction. You got it?
Yeah.
All right, the author first for 10 points, Ernest Hemingway.
Farewell to Arms.
A farewell to arms, 10 points. Farewell being the term of valediction. Okay, John P. Marquand.
Sincerely, Willis Wade.
Right, for 10 points. Okay, James Hilton.
Lost her.
You lost her.
Goodbye, Mr. Chip. Right, for 10 points. Goodbye, Mr. Chip. Okay, I got a musical bonus for 30 points coming up here. Here we go with a toss-up question. The toss-up question that could earn this 30-point bonus for you is, while Moses was away on Mount Sinai talking to the Lord, which one Hobart.
Minkoff.
His brother Aaron made the golden calf.
Well, for heaven's sake, that's right. I didn't even ask the question. I will ask the question for those of us who wonder. Nobody knows these questions, not even the members of the bank. Here we go. While Moses was away on Mount Sinai talking to the Lord, which one of the Israelites constructed the golden calf that the children of Israel worshipped? And the answer was Aaron, and he got it. Okay, you got a 30-point bonus by being, clairvoyant, as it were, Hobart. Here you go. You can have a chance at 30 points by knowing some popular songs. First, you're to listen to portions of three popular songs. Write down the title of each song as you hear it. Okay, listen and write to all three. Here it is.
Way out on the sea.
You're to write down the title of each song as you hear it.
My loved one.
Okay, now you've heard the songs. You've written down the titles. Look at those titles and tell us, what is there about them that might remind you of a famous historical first that took place at Portsmouth, New Hampshire on July 4th, 1777?
Oh. The first American flag was made and the colors were red, white, and blue.
No, it was the landing of the Pilgrims at Plymouth Rock.
Oh, no.
Well, we've got the red sails and sunset and white Christmas going. It must be red, white, and blue, July 4th. It must be Betsy Ross making the flag.
No,
it... No, what, it was Valley...
Okay, all right, no, it was the flag on John Paul Jones' ship for the first time was flown at Portsmouth, New Hampshire on July 4th, 1777. John Paul Jones' ship, right? The Ranger was the name of the ship. I didn't even have an answer written down here. How do you know that? That's very good, Tony. You didn't get it. We will not... What? What would you say? You want to give them half? Half points, Mr. McGregor? Nope. The judges say absolutely not. The famous first was that it flew for the first time on John Paul Jones' ship. For the first time it was flown July 4th, 1777.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alan. That's the halftime whistle, which calls for a one-minute timeout in our festivities.
Okay, thank you, Roger. Now we're going to take out about 2 minutes here. 1 minute for each team and talk to these teams. Now let's talk to the leading team up there, Hobart. Hobart, I understand that you are a man's school. You got a great football team. William Smith College is a woman's school. Now, would you please explain, Warren Harradine, how you four gentlemen happen to be representing a woman's college?
Well, Alan, it all began just as soon as we came back to school this fall when the college announced that we were going to have tryouts. And it happened that 15 women and 19 men from the two colleges tried out for the Quiz Bowl. And in the final elimination, we discovered that the men were really smarter than the women, but we don't care anyway.
I must say, Alan, that Hobart men outnumber the women by approximately 3-1, so there is some basis for the failure of the distaff side.
Which... One question. Warren, are the girls pretty at William Smith?
They're very pretty, and that's why we don't care whether they're smart or not.
Ah! That's all I needed to know. I can understand your reasoning. Okay, we're going down to Lexington, Virginia now to talk to... who am I going to talk to at Washington Lee?
Clay Carr, Alan.
Clay Carr. What's new down there?
Oh, big news right now. Alan, his opening dances are coming up the 21st and the 22nd of October. Not being content with having our usual affair above ground, this year the theme is Neptune's Paradise. And we're having the Sauter Finnegan Orchestra for two nights and a concert in the afternoon.
You're going to dance for 2 days?
That's not easy, Alan.
But you're going to do it, huh?
Oh, yes.
What kind of dancing do you do at Lexington, Washington Lee University?
Well, the cha-cha and the mambo don't seem to have hit Lexington yet, so we settle for Arthur Murray's magic step most of the time.
Okay. There's our whistle. Time to get back to the quiz scoring time, Roger.
Right now, Alan, we have 7 minutes to go. Hobart has 45 points. Washington and Lee only has 5. We have half the game to go and back to another toss-up.
I have a 40-point bonus coming up. Here's your toss-up that could win it for you. On your toes. Here we go for 10 points. With what famous law case or famous lawyer do you associate the following words? It is, sir, as I have said, a small college, and yet there are those who love it. Hobart.
Dartmouth College, Kate.
That was Paul Minkoff.
Paul Minkoff, you got it for 10 points. The Dartmouth College case, a very famous case. Daniel Webster said those words, okay? Here's a 40-point bonus for you, Hobart. It's a bonus question in American political history. For 10 points apiece, identify each of the following. Free Soilers. Anybody in the Hope? Free Soilers.
They wanted to have the Noosa of land, not to have any slavery on it, and that was right before the Civil War.
That's right, for 10 points. Mid-18th century party opposed extension of slavery into the territories. All right. The Know-Nothings.
That was a political party.
The Know-Nothing was a political party that had a campaign particularly against the Germans and the Irish, and they ran Millard Fillmore for president.
They sure did. When?
It was a little bit after the reign of Andy Jackson.
You got 10 points. You stumped me. Okay. The barn burners. Who were they?
Well, the farm burners?
Barn, B-A-R-N. B as in bull. Barn burners. Who were they?
Was that in any way connected with the Kansas raids? Bloody Kansas. The people went around burning things.
No, they were the Democrats who left the party in 1844, wanted to get rid of banks and corporations. Okay, who were the Mossbacks? Mossbacks.
That was the name of another political party that came up shortly after the Civil War.
Yes, after the Civil War.
No.
The
Greenbacks. The Mossbacks were shortly after.
Had to do with agricultural land reform.
All right, I'm sorry, you missed it. The Mossbacks were Confederate draft dodgers. They were named Mossbacks because they hid in swamps to escape service. Okay, you got half of that one. Scoring time, Rod.
Right now, 4.5 minutes to go, Alan. And Hobart has 75. Washington and Lee has 5.
I have a 20-point bonus coming up. A 20-point bonus on mythological males is the bonus question. Here's a toss-up that could get it for you. For 10 points, tell us. What did a Shoshone named Sacagawea...
I believe she...
John Slayton, go ahead.
Thank you, Bob. Sorry to cut you off.
Over.
I believe that she was the Indian girl that led Lewis and Clark up the Columbia and Snake River shortly after President Jefferson...
You got it. You did it. That was it. You interrupted it, and you got it. I don't know how you can read these questions from there. Well, I want to point out that this Hobart team is way up in Geneva, New York, and I'm down here in Radio City, New York.
I saw the movie, Al.
Okay, Shoshone.
Can you spell it?
Sacagawea. All right, you got it. They led the Lewis and Clark expedition. All right, here's your 20-point bonus, Hobart. You know, mythological males sometimes have a real tough time with matrimony. For 20 points... What was the one thing that the 49 husbands of the 49 Danaids simply could not tolerate?
Oh, wasn't that the one where the Danaids were the sea nymphs and they couldn't go swimming with them because they didn't have any lungs?
That was a good try.
They couldn't tolerate the mermaids or something like that?
No.
I don't know.
They could not tolerate being killed on their wedding night. You see, the Danaids slew their husbands on their wedding night. It was pretty tough on the husbands. Okay, you didn't get that, but there's a 30-point bonus coming up. Score in time, Roger.
Right now, 3 minutes to go, Alan. Hobart, 85. Washington and Lee still has 5.
Here's your toss-up question. Here's a timely toss-up in autumn. For 10 points, identify the author of the following famous lines. Hang on and listen. Oh, wild west wind. Oh, Hobart.
Carl Love.
Percy Bysshe Shelley. What do you do?
I think they did.
Penalized 5 points.
Shelley's Ode to the West Wind.
Penalized 5 points. Oh, on a toss-up question, you've got to answer fast, distinctly, and once. All right, in one person. So I repeat the entire question for Washington and Lee. Here's a timely toss-up question on autumn. For 10 points, identify the author.
Shelley's answer, Alan.
All right, Shelley's the answer. Okay, you got it for 10 points. It's your 30-point bonus, Washington and Lee. On a toss-up question, one answer. Remember, all right, the sons of famous men often follow in their father's footsteps in holding public offices or offices of public trust. Now, Washington Lee, for 10 points apiece, you're to tell us first, what elective office is held by the son of the late President Roosevelt?
He is a congressman from New York. From California, rather.
All right, for 10 points. On a bonus question, you've got a time. Okay, 10 points. Congressman from California, all right. What appointive office is held by the son of ex-President Hoover? Now, the exact title.
He is Under Secretary of State.
That is right, for 10 points. Under Secretary of State. All right. What public position is held by the son of the late Senator Taft?
He is head of the Federal Council on Economic, it's the Overseas Trade. I don't know the exact title.
No, that is not right. Cannot get it, cannot correct it. He is the ambassador to Ireland. Okay, score and time, Rod.
Right now, we have 2 minutes to go. Alan, a little less than 2 minutes. Hobart has 80 points. Washington and Lee is climbing with 35.
I have a 30-point musical bonus in the offing. Here it is. For 10 points, here's the toss-up. Tell us, who was the first vice president to succeed on the president's death to the presidency? Hobart.
It was Tyler.
That's right, for 10 points. John Tyler. Okay, here we go with the musical bonus question. The classical musical bonus question, Hobart. You can pick up a fast 10 points first if you identify this music.
Mozart.
Sounds like Mozart.
Yeah, it does me, but it didn't.
All right. Mozart's 40th, Mozart's 41st.
No. You lost the 10 points. I'll tell you. It's Haydn's Toy Symphony. Now, listen to another portion of the Toy Symphony, Hobart, and you'll hear violins and bass and several other unusual instruments for a symphony. Now, for a possible 20 points, though, you are to identify at least four of these unusual instruments in the Toy Symphony, all playing at once. Identify four of them, you got 20 points. Work fast.
One's
a rattle.
Right.
And one is also a bird.
Right.
A bird whistle. And there's also kids throwing toys around.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alan. Class is dismissed. That's it for this week. The game is over. The final score is college quiz bowl. The final score in the college quiz bowl tonight is 90 points for Hobart and 35 points for Washington and Lee, making Hobart and William Smith Colleges the winner. To each member of the Washington and Lee University team, it's our pleasure to award an attractive and dependable Whitnauer wristwatch, a distinguished product of the Longines Whitnauer Watch Company. Since 1866, makers of watches of the highest character. For fielding the winning team tonight, Hobart and William Smith Colleges will receive a $500 cash award from the National Broadcasting Company to be administered by the college. And these varsity scholars from Hobart and William Smith will return next week to meet Oberlin College, Oberlin, Ohio, in this All-American quiz game. Here once again, your master of the quiz for the money, Alan Lund.
Okay, I want to congratulate the four men from Hobart who represented William Smith, too, at the team tonight. You did a great job. And to the four gentlemen from the South, Washington Lee University representatives Jack Lockman, Clay Carr, Max Caskey, and Edward Hood, it's been a pleasure, gentlemen, having you with us in the College Quiz Bowl this year. We'll be looking forward to your return next year. Now, next week, Hobart and William Smith meet Oberlin College. And then the following week, we'll have varsity scholars from Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, and Mount Holyoke College, South Hadley, Massachusetts. Now, this is Alan Ludden saying to you all, so long, everybody.
Your referees tonight were for Hobart and William Smith College, Bob Whitney of Station WSYR in Syracuse, and for Washington and Lee University, Ted Court of Station WSLS, Roanoke, Virginia. College Quiz Bowl is an NBC Radio Network presentation originated and produced by John Moses and Don Reed, written by Nancy Forbes and directed by Cameron Gregg. This is Roger Tattle saying good night.
Monitor takes you everywhere each weekend on NBC Radio.